trying to get financial regulations through.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Senate Banking Committee Chairman Chris Dodd is expected to announce today he's not seeking re-election. Now, the Connecticut Democrat's been critical of the Federal Reserve in its response to the financial crisis. Dodd has proposed legislation to reduce the Fed's authority. And as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports, it's gaining a lot of momentum in the Senate.
Senator Dodd is seeking to take away the power of the Fed to regulate banks. The Fed wouldn't be able to directly examine or supervise bank holding companies like Morgan Stanley or Bank of America. Dodd sponsored a bill last fall that would strip the Fed of its authority to shut down a troubled bank, giving that power to the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Dodd says his bill is necessary to prevent a recurrence of the 2008 financial crisis. Reuters is reporting that key senators are close to a bipartisan deal that would confine the Fed to interest rate policy. But even if agreement is reached in the Senate, House leaders still have to be convinced. The House has already passed a financial reform bill. It doesn't strip the Fed of its bank regulation powers. Financial Services Committee Chairman Barney Frank has been adamant that the Fed should keep those powers. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
All right, let's check the numbers. European markets are mostly lower right now, about a third of a percent or less. Asian shares closed mostly higher today, with investors tempered a bit by that U.S. home sales report yesterday that showed an unexpected dip. On Wall Street Tuesday, the S&P added about a third of a percent, the Nasdaq was flat, and the Dow lost a little ground to close at 10,572. Now, like most states, Pennsylvania has big budget problems, and the state is counting on gambling revenue to help close the gap. If a law to allow table games, such as poker and blackjack, doesn't pass this week, the governor there says he's going to institute some big layoffs. Joel Rose reports.
For weeks, Governor Ed Rendell has been threatening to furlough nearly 1,000 state workers unless a gambling bill reaches his desk by Friday.
There comes a time when we have got to start saving money. You know, and I'm sorry, folks, I didn't cause this crisis.
The Democratic governor and Republican lawmakers managed to close a $3 billion budget gap last fall, but that deal depended on $250 million in tax revenues from table games, which are still illegal in Pennsylvania casinos. Without that money, Rendell says he'll have to cut even more.
It is painful for me. I've just agonized about firing anybody. So for me to lay off 1,000 people this year, if there was any way possible I could avoid it, I would avoid it.
Lawmakers from both parties say they're close to a deal that will prevent layoffs. But the ongoing drama reveals a state government that's so polarized it can barely function, says Franklin and Marshall College political scientist Terry Madonna.
We are now in January in a new calendar year, and we still have not concluded last year's budget. So this is the longest period of time in modern state history that the state has not completed its budget deliberations from the previous fiscal year.
Even if they do make this week's deadline, Pennsylvania lawmakers won't get much of a break. The governor is due to present his budget for the next fiscal year in about a month. In Philadelphia, I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
HealthSouth co-founder Richard Scrushy was ordered by an Alabama court to pay damages for defrauding the company. It's been tough getting any of that $2.8 billion. The company just a couple of weeks ago subpoenaed Scrushy's lawyer, looking for ways that he paid him. Scrushy's in prison on an unrelated bribery conviction. Now, Scrushy co-founded HealthSouth with Aaron Beam back in the mid-1980s. Beam was chief financial officer, and he served 3 months in prison on federal fraud charges. His new book, Wagon to Disaster, chronicles the fraud, and Aaron Beam is with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
How did it get started?
Well, we did a lot of what I call aggressive accounting, capitalizing of things that was acceptable by the auditors. We did that from the very beginning, but the out-and-out fraud didn't start until we'd been a public company for about 10 years. And Richard just did not want to disappoint Wall Street by reporting a bad quarter. And he gave us a long speech about how the company was doing good, and if we could just get him through this quarter, everything would be okay. And my chief accountant, Bill Owens, actually suggested, making fraudulent entries. And Richard said, that's fine if that's what we need to do.
And he also served time as well, Bill Owens, right?
He did.
How did it get reported? I mean, for so long, these numbers were made to advertise, as you said, to Wall Street, that everything was better at the company. I mean, what took this pyramid of lies down?
Well, it was actually the law that was enacted because of Enron, and it emphasized that if you were the CFO and you were signing off on financial statements that were fraudulent, you could go to prison for a much longer time. And Weston Smith, who was the CFO at the time, just couldn't take it, and he called the FBI and reported that there was fraud on the books at HealthSouth.
You started a new business in Baldwin County, Alabama, just outside of Mobile. Is that in Loxley?
It's in Loxley, and I have a lawn service business. I have no employees. It's just me. But I'm living my life honest now, and there is a lot of peace of mind in that. When I mow somebody's grass and they pay me $50 in the heat in South Alabama, I know I've earned that money, and I sleep well at night.
Well, Aaron Beam, the founder and former CFO of HealthSouth Corporation, based in Birmingham, Alabama, and now doing some lawn work, and we appreciate you being with us this morning.
Thank you, Steve.
And finally, a human skull will be put up for bid later this month at Christie's Auction House. Officials there believe it once belonged to Yale University's mysterious Skull and Bones Society. Christie's not saying who's putting the item up for bid. It could go for $10,000 to $20,000. It apparently was used as a ballot box in the late 1800s. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.